everyone. Welcome. Look who I have with me. This is Dawn Burks, and from the hip, this is...
Dalton Rapaturter.
I'm kidding.
Dalton Rapatoni, our very, very own. And you have a new album.
I do.
Called Nobody's Home.
That is true.
Okay. That is true. Let's talk about the title.
Okay. What, do you have questions, concerns?
Yes.
Do you not like it? I'm sorry.
I've been listening to it.
Cool.
Okay. I have been.
All right.
I have
thank
been.
You.
So it's rock,
yeah,
right?
It's like alternative.
But it's got a pop feel.
Yeah.
But there's something else there.
Yeah. It's... What I do is I focus more on the lyrics than anything else.
Okay.
And so everything... We kind of, like, for the music, wanted to go for, like, an 80s kind of feel for most of the songs. Like, Would You Like That, which is the 14th, I think, song on the record. Or 11th. It has, like, a lot of Phil Collins-y drums and stuff like that. Because we wanted to make it sound like... A scene in an 80s movie where, like, someone's, like, dramatically, like, running to, like, an airport. And it's like, no! But, yeah, with the music, it was kind of a little bit all over the place just because we wanted to do production that fit the lyrics of the song.
Okay. That was one lyric I really liked. I miss missing you.
Oh, yeah, I miss not having to miss you.
Yes, I miss not and having signs. To miss you. Yes,
yeah.
Signs. I like
that one. I wrote with my buddy Will J, who I was in a boy band with.
Yes,
unfortunately.
No, we're going to talk about that too.
Fortunately, because I'm glad I did it because I met him and he's like one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
That's I Am Five, everybody.
Yeah, it
is. Hey, but you were chosen. There's something to be said for that, right?
That is true. A lot of people auditioned for that, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But it was funny, the audition story I don't talk about a lot because it's so weird, but this seems like a good avenue.
Yeah. We really want to hear that. Let's set the scene. You were 14?
Yes. I was in Grapevine Mall, and there was a kiosk. There's like one of those little photo booth looking things.
I remember those.
And I walked in because I had a vocal teacher at the time that was like, you got to do this thing. You got to audition for this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And I didn't think I was going to make it because I heard like 30,000 kids were auditioning. And I was like, all right, I'll just go in and make a fool of myself in this photo booth. But no one's ever going to see it. And I walked in and it was like, sing your song. And I was like, I played a song. I can't remember what it is. I think it might have been Drops of Jupiter by Train. But
okay.
I can't remember. But then...
Ambitious?
Like, yeah, yeah. But then it said to dance. And I was like, I'd never danced before in my life. And they did... it. God, what is that Black Eyed Peas song that has that like Tarantino surf guitar?
It's not Let's Get It Started, is it?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know it. Someone's going to be mad in the comments.
Someone's
going to
be really upset that neither one of us can get it. But for the interest of time, we just need to tell the story, right?
But and then that song started playing, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like swayed back and forth, just like showing them that like I have a sense of rhythm, but I did not do choreography to this. So, and then I got a call, and they were like, hey, come out to LA and for the next round of auditions. And I had never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was like, let's just go out there, do the first half of the day, and then bail at lunch. Because he didn't think I was going to make it either. He was like, it's just a free trip to LA. And it's a free room, free plane ticket. Let's just go.
A sense of adventure, though. He still said, let's go.
Yeah. And then at... like I went and I showed up in the morning and we did like tons of like vocal stuff and I met all the other kids. And then when it came time to go to lunch, me and my dad were at Arby's and I was like, I think I can make it. And he's like, really?
Wow.
And I could tell he was disappointed because he wanted to go to the beach or something. And I was like, no, I think I can do it. And then I did. And then I was in a boy band for several years. And that's the end of that story.
But that band afforded you the chance to, you wrote songs?
Yes. Right. We wrote one for the band. It was Superman.
But that was like their top song, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of them for sure. They. It's funny because it was very kind of discouraged for us to be writing songs. But with that one, we played it. It was me and Will that wrote it, and we played it live at one show. And we never played it again because the other guys didn't like it very much. And then we were approached by someone whose name I will keep from the record books just in case. But she was like, hey, I really like this
Disappointed.
Song. I'm sorry. She was like, hey, I really like this song. I'm going to pay for you guys to like professionally record it. Okay. And I was like, oh, really?
Wow.
Huh. Isn't that something, other guys in the band? But no, we ended up professionally recording that one. But I mean, IFI was great for a lot of things. It taught me how to like operate in the music industry, okay. which is cool. Because I didn't know how to talk to people at all before IFI.
Oh, and man.
They give us like interview training and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which is a lot more useful than I thought it was. using it today.
Including now?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, it was good for a lot of stuff. Actually.
Okay. And then you left IM5 and you came to your band.
Mm-hmm. Flyaway Hero.
Flyaway Hero, which, yes. You know, you liked having your band.
Yeah.
But okay, here's the rub here for me, is that now you're a solo artist at the ripe old age of 21.
Yeah. I'm withering away.
But you have a lot of experience under your belt, yet you're still going to be looked at as this youngster. How do you reconcile those two things?
It's funny because, like, I always just... one of the things that I've found helps me in life in general is to, like, dress in all black and wear skinny jeans so that people don't expect you to be very nice. And then when you are nice, they're, like, always pleasantly surprised. But it's kind of the same with music. Like, being young is kind of a useful thing. Because when you go into a studio with a bunch of older people and they don't expect you to have any experience,
okay.
like even the smallest things, they're like, oh,
okay,
that's I didn't expect anything.
So what you're doing is keeping expectations low so no one's disappointed.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I have to ask you, so was the guy liner that you were wearing on American Idol part of that facade?
No, I actually genuinely liked it. The funny story about the
eyeliner. What kind?
I wore Maybelline Unstoppable Onyx colored. But I started wearing it because I went to a summer camp, and it was like a music-based summer camp.
Yeah.
And three of the girls there held me down on the ground and put eyeliner on me against my will. And when I stood up, I realized...
That's abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But when I stood up, I was like, oh, this actually looks kind of cool. So I'm just going to keep wearing it.
Well, I mean, you're a rock poppy guy. So, yeah. So it worked. And oh, my God, did it work on American Idol? I remember watching you go through just mow down the competition night after night. And I was like, what?
I wouldn't call it mowing them down. For me, I always equated it to like a rat that stows away on a boat. And he just kind of stays out of the way until the ship lands, and then he, like, leaves. But I always, like, because there were so many, like, really good people that kept getting eliminated, and I was like, I swear, I think they forgot about me. I think they were supposed to eliminate me, like, four rounds ago, and they just forgot. They mixed up the paperwork.
I remember when I talked to you when you came home for your hometown visit, one of the things that you said to me that stuck with me was you said that the other two finalists, LaPortia Renee and Trent
Harmon,
because he won.
Yeah, he did.
Trent Harmon. And that they had these big voices, and you said that you felt like you were riding a tricycle on a NASCAR track.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really, it's funny because, like, the degree, like, they're both, like, just naturals at singing, and they've always been that way. They've always been amazing. But for me, like, singing has never been, like, my strong suit. It's always been, like, writing and things like that. And I was, like, I had an interesting conversation with my friend, and he asked me if, like, I was an entertainer, a writer, a singer, or a performer, which order would I say I was in? And I always said singer was last because that was always something that I like really had to work for.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, the voting came around for the top two, and then I realized that the other two were LaPortia and Trent, and this is a singing competition, I was like, well, you know, I had a good run. It's cool. I didn't get the car, but I had a good time.
Right.
So it was fun.
You also talked about using your platform for good.
Right.
So tell me about that.
I mean, I think it's one of those things. I think if you have the ability to affect positive change, you have a moral responsibility to do so. Because it's a rare thing to be able to talk to so many people at once. And there are a lot of people who have that platform and don't really do anything with it other than post pictures of themselves and their food. But for me, I feel like I had a moral obligation to talk about certain things because, you know, I had the opportunity to. And I think that's really important for someone who is or wants to be in the public eye, because you're not really doing anything for the betterment of humanity if you just sing pretty songs and post music videos and never do anything with it.
Okay.
So
is that why, like, a lot of the songs on this album, it's a pretty hefty album.
Thank you.
You were like, but you were like track 14, and I was like, yeah. It's got tracks on there.
Yeah.
But a lot of them seem pretty introspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Puppy Love, which is really cute.
Yeah, Puppy Love's a fun one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the songs that I do, especially with this album, I wanted to make songs that you could listen to and not think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to think about it, you could. And like that, I always talk about Would You Like That, because I had to fight really hard to get that one on the album because nobody in my team wanted it to be there. But I always thought it was really important because it reads as a love song, but if you think about it a little bit more, it's not really at all. Because I was in a relationship at one time that was like fairly abusive on both sides.
Mm.
It was really unhealthy. But when I was in that relationship, I didn't know that anything that we were doing was unhealthy. I thought it was all totally normal. And the pull out all my teeth line was something that was a large fight, just because it is a little bit, it's tough to hear. But that's the stuff that goes through your head when you're in a situation like that, and you don't realize that it's unhealthy. And I thought it was something that was interesting to talk about, important to talk about, just because, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you don't know you're the bad guy, mm-hmm. because nobody is the bad guy in their own story. And I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, there's you were. Since you've been very young, you've had to be very in touch with your emotions and control because of your, do you mind if we talk about, because of your diagnosis with bipolar disorder.
Yes.
So do you think that somehow helps you?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, with the way that I've learned to deal with it is I've learned to kind of be more subjective with every thought. And it kind of makes me a little bit like a robot, but it's how you deal with things. Mm-hmm. Like my mom always told me that I have to be able to tell the difference between a head feeling and a heart feeling.
Okay.
Something that, you know, a thought that you have because you have an imbalance of chemicals in your head, or is it something that you really feel? And that, I think, has helped me with songwriting, and I think it has kind of hurt me a little bit in certain ways as well, because I'm able to... Like, I more properly identify emotions, but I'm also kind of, like, detached from them sometimes.
Okay.
And so a lot of the time, you kind of, like, if I have a feeling, I'm kind of just, like, I don't let myself feel it until I've decided that it's a proper thing that's okay to feel. And I think a lot of my music kind of can sometimes seem detached.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it, because I have to be so analytical about everything I feel.
Okay. But that also probably makes you a pretty good musician, you know?
I try to be.
I mean, before the camera turned on or everything, we were talking about, you know, different forms of music and different ways of getting that music out there.
Yeah.
And I think people would be surprised to know that, you know, you're really into, like, you're cross genre. You like music.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, I like anything that sounds good. There's like a misconception that people who do a certain type of music only like that music.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not true at all. Like, I do alternative pop, but I listen to everything under the sun. I've been listening to a polka band recently a lot because they have some dope stuff. I love rap music. I love trap music at certain times. We were talking about that.
Yes, we were talking about that.
But I always find it interesting, like, what makes a genre, because there's a lot of situations in which they, like, blend, and it's kind of hard to tell the line. And I think that those things that we were talking about, the identifying features of a genre, like the really sharp hi-hat in trap music and, like, the triplets and things like that, it's interesting to find those identifying features so that you can play with them in your own music and kind of try to figure out how to make something unique.
And, like, kind of do a call out to those forms of music so that perhaps you even gain some of those fans. Right. There's, I was talking to Trombone Shorty of Orleans Avenue, and he's named his music. He calls it Super Funk Rock.
All right, dope.
So it made me start thinking about, because when I do listen to you, I hear influences of a lot of things. It started making me thinking about, I wonder if we can name your genre.
Oh my! I don't know. Man.
I put him on the spot, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know. I think. Oh man, I try to keep. I mean, because I've been calling it alternative pop because that's what everyone's been saying.
Right, because that's the square that, you know, you kind of need to put it in so that it can be played.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just don't know, because it's not like, when you think about pop, it's not like pop. It's not like Katy Perry, and it's not particularly rock either. So I honestly don't know. I'm bad at making up names.
We'll come up with something before you leave. Okay. I mean, even if it's not on camera. But okay. I am what is known as a quick segue. Not even a segue here. I'm just going to bring it up.
Okay.
I read somewhere that you're a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Man, look. That is my jam.
Yeah? Really? That's awesome. I haven't been super caught up because... Well, I finished all of the show that was on Netflix, and then when I ended that, I couldn't, because I'm terrible at, like, keeping up with something that's, like, happening live on television. So when seasons come out on Netflix, I'll
you
binge
youngsters.
Them. I know, sorry. What do you think about what's the new lady's name?
Oh, I just love the fact that there's a woman.
Yeah. And she's supposed to be, like, the last one, technically.
But
I'm sure they'll...
All they have to do is just go back to another point in time. I mean, this show can last forever.
I know. And they're making more money, like, now. Especially, you know, based on a lot of the people... The new people are watching it just because they're like, oh, a lady. Let's see how this goes.
And people are discovering it all the time. I mean, it's an old show. It's almost like 60 years old.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, look at him. He's a geek too.
Yeah, I am. Oh, I'm brutal. I've been really, like, delving deep into Game of Thrones, and not even
really?
The show. Like, I'm all the way caught up with the show, but...
Do you have a map of Westeros?
No, but honestly, every night, almost... I, like, look up the HD version, and I, like, zoom in, like, to all of, like, the towns and things like that. And then, like, I try to, like, figure out, like, the paths of the characters on the map. And I'm trying to figure out whether, like, the time in the show is accurate. I'm like, how would they get from Eastwatch by the Sea to Dragonstone?
Right, in like, that amount of time.
It's like it took Ed Stark, like, 3 episodes to get to King's Landing in the first season. And he was on a road, and he had a horse. And, like, I get it, ravens fly faster, and I guess dragons fly fast, too. But it was, like, 2 days. It's ridiculous. That doesn't happen. I'm sorry.
I have this picture of you in my head right now. Is that who's...
Does the stream stop when that happens? Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
So...
I've been getting really deep into it.
But I have this picture of you sitting here. I'm thinking of you watching Game of Thrones with your guitar in hand, just strumming at moments. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I've gotten, like, it's pretty bad. Like, I've watched all of those, like, DVD bonus extras of, like, the extra lore and stuff.
Yes.
And that's really cool that they have the actors, like, narrate these things as their characters. That's super sick.
And now two of the actors are engaged. They announced it yesterday.
What? Who?
John find snow in the Wildlands.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's so beautiful. I love that.
I knew it. I knew it.
Their relationship was really well developed. Yeah. And if there's anything that I, because everyone has their own opinions about this last season, I thought it was a little rushed.
They rushed it because they got the call that okay, it's gonna.
Yeah. They should have given them three more seasons, but they only got two. It's a great show. But the funny thing is, because they're like off the books entirely. Like
yes.
The ending of the book is not going to be the same as the ending of the show.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like, because if I don't like what happens in the show, I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna pick the one that's in the book and be like, that's the one that happened. But yeah, there's lots of like, I have a lot of opinions on Game of Thrones, so I'm gonna stop right now before this becomes a Game of Thrones podcast.
Right. When you come back through, we'll talk TV because that's my real job, right, Ben? I'm a TV critic.
Oh no. Right on. That's awesome. I bet you have a lot of opinions on this last season.
That's my real gig. But I'm trying to there was so much that I wanted to just talk to you about everything. Like I wanted to talk to you about your journey from American Idol to now. Like, we watched all of the American Idol stuff because, I mean, we weren't just captivated by you because you were ours. You know, you're Dallas-Fort Worth.
Right.
The nation was, because, like you said, people were pulling for you because of, like, hey, maybe I could go there.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I think I kind of became this, like, underdog, like, not underdog, but, in like TV and movies and stuff, as you know, they like make characters specifically not defined so that the person can identify.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that helped me a lot was that I wasn't like a freaky gifted singer.
Yeah.
And so people who weren't freaky gifted singers were like, hey, maybe I could do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so that helped me a lot, I think.
Your hair, which you covered today.
I did. Well, it's okay. So I've gotten to the point where it's too long and now I look like a cotton ball. And it's also raining and the humidity makes it worse.
So honey.
We did the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And he was like, can you take your hat off? And I was like, okay. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's way too long.
Yeah.
At this point.
Just, Ben, do we have any questions from anyone?
Yeah, so one of the questions wants to know, a lot of people say hello.
Hi.
a lot of people say that they love you.
Love you too.
Hold on, let me find you.
I love you too.
The question is, many young singers are bringing their struggles with disease and mental illness to the forefront with their careers. Why do you feel is it important to share your experiences with bipolar disorder?
I think
I touched on that a little.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's important because one of my biggest role models of all time is Winston Churchill, because he was never, like, officially diagnosed, but, like, every psychologist that has, like, read about him and studied him, like, agrees that he had bipolar disorder. And he will call it his black dog that followed him around everywhere. And he beat the Nazis. So, like, if a guy with bipolar disorder can win World War II, I don't think there's really anything that, you know, I don't think that bipolar disorder should hold anybody back. And I think especially as musicians, a lot of people with mental illness are artistically inclined. I don't know why, but they are. And I think that it's important to show people that you are capable of doing things and you're capable of being a productive member of society, even if you have bipolar disorder, because there's nothing I hate more than people who can operate and can contribute to society, but they let something like that bring them down. I mean, certain cases, obviously, I get it, but you know, most people can work and most people can do what they love and most people can be a success in life, but humans have a tendency to be defeatists, and it's easy to be like, oh, I have bipolar disorder, therefore I am just going to give up on everything because I was dealt a bad hand. And I think that, you know, you can work with any hand if you try hard enough.
And there's the platform.
There it is. Platform.
Anybody else?
My favorite trap artist? I don't know. Does Post Malone count as trap?
He says he's not in hip hop.
Right.
What does he think he is? I disagree.
He's just an artist.
Just an artist?
Maybe that's why when he attempted to crowd surf the other day, no one caught him.
I saw that. That sucks. That really sucks.
That does really suck. Yeah. It's like, come on, because like at a show not too long ago, he actually bought Popeye's biscuits for the people at the show.
That's dope.
It's like,
he's
really,
a really cool dude.
This is a dude who's buying you Popeyes, mm-hmm. and you're not gonna catch him.
Yeah, he did a video where he went ghost hunting with his friends, and it's just like, God, I wish I could just hang out with that guy.
He's I so bet cool. you can.
Yeah, well, maybe one day, but. I like him a lot. I didn't. Sorry, I have like bronchitis, but yeah. he. What was that new song that he came out with?
Rock. Congratulations.
No, Congratulations was like the first one that like made him blow up. But he had just the other day he came out with something. I think it was called Rockstar.
I'm always at least 3 weeks behind on that.
I was apparently like a month behind 2 Chainz. I was not.
See
I was
what I'm
too,
saying?
I'm mad at Spotify because they didn't give me the alert, and I've been following him since. God, what was that one video with Kanye West where he was in a house?
A lot of videos.
That's I know,
true.
Right?
That's true. That's not specific enough.
He just described half of the videos.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, I've been following him for a long time.
Yeah, I was trying to introduce you to Rake It Up. I wish I had it queued up so I could play it because it really is the ultimate trap song. Yeah. Like, even if you don't. And I don't know. Like,
I like Future a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like about Future?
I like his tracks a lot because they're typically a little bit more unique. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more thought put into them.
Right. It's almost like he's using the trap sound to get you in.
Yeah.
But then to give you something else.
Yeah. Like Mask Off was one of the most insane things I'd ever heard. Because I like it in the same way that I like Congratulations. Because it's like, it's so moody and you don't expect mm-hmm. that from like a trap song. Yeah. But like that and Congratulations are just like so like moody and it like, it really lets you lay into the song and get lost in it. So,
besides the depth of your affection for trap music,
it's not necessarily my favorite genre. We just talked about it a lot today. Yeah.
But what's something that perhaps we don't know about you?
Oh man,
your fans keep really detailed notes, man.
Yeah, they do.
Ever Google
they bring
yourself?
Up stuff, they bring up stuff that like I don't know about me, and they're like, "Dalton, you said this in an interview in 2013," and I'm like, "My brain didn't work back then. My brain didn't turn on yet. I was still a baby in 2013,
That's
telling
true.
Me what I was saying." But I don't know. I'm a lot more like introverted than a lot of people, I guess. Think mm-hmm. because like with musicians and stuff, like everyone's like, oh, there's like that meme of like, oh yeah, they're so like so introverted and into and all of that stuff, but people don't like typically believe that because like they're out doing interviews and they see them on TV and things like that,
they're on a stage.
Yeah, but I need like ample recharge time, like after a tour I like don't talk to people for like a week just because it's like so much talking and shaking hands and things like that. And I love doing that because I like meeting the people that like, you know, made me where I am now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, afterwards, like I have to like, you know, trap myself under a rock and just like hibernate for a while.
Did you just come off doing some dates?
Yeah, I did. We did a kind of a mini tour.
You played here, didn't
summer.
You?
Yes, we played at the Profit Bar.
Yes.
And that was a fun show.
I bet it was.
Super fun.
It's a good venue.
Yeah, it's a great venue. But yeah, I did that with my friends, The House on Cliff. They're a band from Boston.
Okay.
And they played backup for me as well as they opened. So that was a really, really fun one. But yeah, after that, I was like, all right, I'm just going to, like, make a blanket hole and just, like, completely cover myself and not interact with anyone forever.
Well, I'm going to go back to the beginning of your journey solo from American Idol. Did American Idol, do you think, open doors or close some?
I feel like it's fair to say it did both, because there is like the, I don't want to say stigma because it's not like the worst thing in the world, but there are the people in the music industry who are like, oh yeah, American Idol kids, that's a dead meme, so mm-hmm. we're just going to like not work with them. But I feel like it opened more than it closed.
Okay.
And I think if you go on any like competition show, you have to expect that a little bit.
Okay.
Because there are like people in the music industry especially that like look down upon that kind of thing. And to be honest, I did too before I did it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, it's an American Idol kid. They didn't really work for it. And, you know, that in some cases, I suppose that's true. But for a lot of the people that I met during the show, they were doing American Idol because they had worked so hard and nothing had worked before.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's like there's a misconception that it's like, you know, this was like a shortcut to yeah. like becoming famous or whatever. But it really is not as easy as it looks on TV. It's the worst fun I've ever had. Like, it's miserable fun.
But, yeah. I think, you know, I had another question, but I like that it was the worst fun you ever had.
Right,
we maybe gonna end it with that. This is Dawn Burks with From the Hip. We're sitting here with Dalton Rapitone.
Hello.
DFW's very own. I'm at Dawn Burks on Twitter. We're still From the Hip on Twitter. And Dalton's...
I am Dalton Rapitone on Twitter, Instagram, and everything else.
Yes. Join us again. Keep those questions coming. We'll try to get them answered. Bye, y'all.
Toodles.